Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we return to your word this morning and to the passage of which we have been working in over the last several weeks. We thank you for the knowledge that your word is sure in eternity. It is sure. It is the bedrock of our faith. And without it, Lord, we know we would be subject to the uncertain call, the uncertain trumpet of the world's vain philosophies, the selfishness of our culture, with no sure foundation to build on. But what a blessing, Lord, it is to know that the Holy Spirit will help us today to rightly divide the word of truth. And even these words of the law given to God's people from the mountain so many years ago, we find new meaning, new relevance to us today. We seek your wisdom and guidance as we explore again these truths built into this particular command to honor our fathers and mothers. We pray, Lord, that you would bring clarity and discernment from on high today, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Let us turn to our text for today, Exodus 20. We will read verse 1 and 2, and then over to verse 12. Exodus 20, 1 and 2, and then verse 12. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now over to verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The word of the Lord.
The title of the sermon this morning, Honoring God by Honoring Parents. Honoring father and mother is the first command in the Ten Commandments that we arrive at, that is the horizontal relationship. You will remember with me, won't you, that the first four commands that we have are, you know, no other gods besides me. You should not make unto yourself any graven image. You are to not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, and remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That these four commands have to do with a vertical relationship with the Lord. Well, now the fifth commandment makes a transition from that vertical, of course predicated upon the vertical, but to the horizontal. Remember, the law is summarized with these two statements. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So that's a horizontal, isn't it? Well, today, we think of loving the neighbor, and what neighbor more precious, closer to us than mother and father. And this fifth commandment, I believe, is something of a bridge, really. Honor and love for God is in that vertical relationship. Remember, he is our creator. We're created in his image. And he loves us, and we, of course, reciprocate in faith and love to him, the invisible God. Well, when you think of this bridge command, we think of the horizontal relationship. We can think in a sense of our creators in a human sense. Father and mother. And they are the ones you read in Genesis 5:3. It says that Adam had a son, or begot a son, Seth, in his own image. It uses the same language that's used in Genesis 1 of God created Adam and Eve in his own image. And we'd never get far from remembering, of course, like Psalm 139 would make crystal clear, that God is the one who gives life. So the life that mothers and fathers and mothers would produce is a life that's really a gift of God, isn't it? In Psalm 139, it says, of the Lord. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lower parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all are written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So when we say that the children created by the parents, don't misunderstand me, that God has blessed with life through fathers and mothers, and we recognize that it's more than merely a biological process that the world would say, the secular world would think. But God has ordained that each of us be born to the father and mother we had. God has ordained that. God is the one who caused it. Well, that puts a very different spin on things, doesn't it? If this is according to God's decree, then in all cases, not just some, not just if we think they're worthy, but in all cases we are to honor, yes, love, obey, and be thankful for the fathers and mothers that God has given us. And by the way, it's a key to the commandments 6 through 10, I believe. When you think of this God, our creator, in the vertical relationship who's invisible, we learn to honor and reverence him by honoring and reverencing our parents, don't we? If we can't honor our parents who we can see, how can we honor and reverence a God who we cannot see, you see? That wasn't intentional. You get my point? So that's why the other six are really predicated on this. All God-ordained authorities, really, are based upon this model, are rooted in this relationship. Now, we remind ourselves the Ten Commandments are not moralism or a legalistic way of salvation, but a call to life motivated by gratitude for God's grace, gratitude for compassion and deliverance. Remember what he says here in verses 1 and 2. God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So it's predicated on God's deliverance. And so we can retrieve the correct use of these commands by invoking a typological analogy, remember? That is to say, between redemption from Egypt, the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from the tyranny and the slavery to sin and death. And so we see the commands here we will look at with a new covenant eye here in a moment. But first of all, let's look at the meaning of the commandment. It's very straightforward in verse 12, very simple, isn't it? The meaning of the commandment, first of all, he says in verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord is giving you. So given to Israel, remember, in the land, he says, if you'll keep my commands, you'll live long in the land. If you keep my commands, I'll bless you in the land. If you don't, I won't. And we talked about how the conditionality is fulfilled in Christ. And so we'll return to that in a moment. But the command itself, honor father and mother. Well, think of that. And, you know, in the meaning of this, we think of the idea of honor in the sense of submission. In submission to father and mother. Remember the image bearer concept. Remember Adam begot Seth in his own image. Well, we bear the image of our parents. You say, I'm not sure. You know, have you ever had people say, well, you don't look exactly like your father, but you don't look exactly like your mother. You look like both of them, you know. And you always hear these conversations around the crib, don't you? I think he has his mother's eyes. Yeah, I don't know, but he's got his dad's nose, and on it goes. We bear the image of our parents more than just superficially in the flesh. But we bear the image of our parents, you see, also in internally, in our nature, in our thought processes, etc. God has ordained it so. And, of course, bearing the image of God. And so when we think, then, of submission to these through whom God gave us life, we are recognizing that we have the the blessing, really, but also the duty to obey. His submission to obey. You have in your bulletin a quote even out of Ephesians chapter 6. It says, children, obey your parents. Well, you see, you can't say you're honoring them if you're disregarding what they have to say, can you? You can't say you're honoring them if you have no intention of obedience. And so the idea of obedience and submission, humility. You know, you can't honor someone if you're honoring yourself first, can you? You know, you read, it's in several places, but I'm reminded of a couple places in the Bible, in the Proverbs, for example, of the ones who are filled with pride and those who would curse their father and not bless their mother. Why? That you find in Proverbs 20:20, for example, those who curse father, it says darkness awaits them. Proverbs 23:22, listen to your father, it says, and do not despise your mother. Well, there's the other idea of honoring your parents, honoring father and mother, is to listen to them. The wisdom that God has granted, honoring father and mother, is to listen to the wisdom God has granted, the experience. Think of what parents do. In a very straightforward way, think of, you know, from the very birth idea, you've got here where you're nurturing and you're providing for, you're feeding, you're providing for all the needs of the child. You think of protecting them, sheltering them, defending this child. You're loving them. You give them, you're with them and your presence is there, abiding with them, giving them security and they're something that they desperately need. And you have communion with them and fellowship with this child and you also teach them. You pour yourself into them to teach them a multitude of things all the time. You're training them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You're training them just how to eat properly and not to slobber all over themselves while they do it. You're teaching the child how to be someone who knows how to interact with other people in an honorable fashion, how to honor the Lord while they do it. You're being a mentor, a shepherd. You're discipling this child in Christ. You're being an example for them. They're imitating you. They're watching you model all of these things. They see the example of father and mother together. They see dad loving mom. They see father, you know, having this wife that he treasures and he's with her, you know, in the faith and in godliness, and she, you know, offering respect and honor to her husband, that she too is a helper meet for him, and that she is joining in the worship with father, and you see father and mother modeling before the children what it ought to be in a marriage. And they replicate this. They hear how you speak. They know what you desire. They know your deeds. You teach them worship. To not just worship God because it's a formality we do as a family. It's a tradition of the family. But you do it because God is altogether worthy. Worthy of our worship. It pleases Him. It honors Him. We're created to glorify Him and enjoy Him. You see, we teach our children to serve. We teach them to have mercy. We discipline them when they're wrong. You see, all of that goes on. No wonder after mothers and fathers and mothers have poured them their lives into you as a child and as a teenager and put up with your complaints and put up with your dumb decisions and put up with the destructiveness that you thought was fun and led you to the most important treasure of all the world, this world or the next, Christ. Honor your father and mother. You can see how it's right, can't you, when you think of all those things. You say, but they didn't do it perfectly. Well, neither have I. Have you really? Of course not. Now, what's so close to our understanding here as we look at this command is remember the context of this command. Remember what we've read, what we've studied from the beginning of Exodus all the way here to Exodus chapter 19 where they camp around the mountain. Remember what God has done. God is the one who delivered them by His grace. God has been a father. He called them His firstborn in Exodus 4. Do you remember that? God is the one who sent forth His messenger and His prophet Moses to deliver them. God, by His outstretched arm, by His power, poured His deliverance out there for them. And so when He says, I delivered you, understand that God says, I'm the one by all that's in me has associated myself with you. And by covenant, I'm bound myself to you in blood, by the blood of the firstborn, by the blood of the lamb. And that I'm the one who's led you through the wilderness. I've fed you. I've given you water out of the rock. I'm the one who defended you at the Red Sea. I'm the one who brought you across on dry ground. I've been a shepherd to you. I've been a father to you. And what did Israel do? Complained. Murmured. Said, what'd you do? Bring us out here to kill us in the wilderness? Oh, dishonor after dishonor after dishonor. And God shows them, honor your father and your mother. And by the way, as we do, is it not pointing us to recognize how we've dishonored and leads us to repentance, leads us to greater faith and to honor and reverence the Lord thereby? This command He gives is one that's obvious and very universal and practical. And we all understand it because it's very straightforward and it's right there where we live, isn't it? But let's come then to the new covenant idea of what takes place in Christ. In this command, as all of the commands of the Ten Commandments are pointing ultimately to fulfillment in God in Christ by the Spirit, the Holy Trinity. When we think of what happens, look at, in your bulletin insert, you have John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. John the Baptist is preaching. He says, repent, the kingdom of heaven has arrived. So the Father in heaven has sent me to point out the Son from heaven, and the Spirit descending upon Him will go forth and baptize you all those believers. And so He comes in the name of the Lord, the I Am, the same I Am that's here. And it says, as many as received Him, that is Jesus Christ, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Now notice in verse 13, who were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. So you see what we have here in the birth that occurs, are born to parents. God shows forth something. I said it was a bridge. It points us ultimately to our Lord and to Him as Father. Notice He as a Father brings us forth and causes us to be His children. It's not by bloodline. It's not by the will of man. It's not by the will of flesh. It's not by the will of man. But by the will of God, we're brought forth. In Christ. It is in Jesus Christ. We're in union with Him. It's by the work of the Holy Spirit that we're brought forth. You all remember John 3, don't you? Remember Nicodemus didn't understand this. And he said, the Lord says, you can't enter or see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again from above. Nicodemus, how can I, being an old guy, enter into my mother's womb and be born all over again? Very slow on the pickup. Jesus says, that which is flesh, but that which is spirit. You must be born from above by the Spirit. And so, this idea of the kingdom of heaven, you and I are made children of God. Think of that, beloved. Israel had learned this, God had said this, but there you have types and shadows. It was blurry. Now in Christ's progressive revelation, the Son has arrived. The Son, the only begotten Son of God, the everlasting, eternal God, the Son incarnate. And those who believe on him, it says that God causes us to be regenerated, and therefore we believe. Think of birth. James chapter 1. For some reason, the guy putting the bulletin together didn't include that. That would be me. So I'll ask you to turn there. James 1, verses 17 and 18. It uses another word that's translated brought forth. Brought forth in birth is the idea. In James chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, every good gift. I still hear leaves turning, so I'll wait. James 1. Verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God brought us forth. A supernatural birth. So, as we understand being brought into this world by our parents, here God is showing, I brought you forth, but differently, by my Spirit in Christ, by the Word, by my Word. We were looking at 2 Corinthians 4:6 this morning, talking in 5 about the preaching of the Word of God, the gospel of the kingdom. And there it says, but the God who said, let there be light, you know the verse. He's the one who's shown in our hearts to give us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so there we see that God is the one, by his word and power, by his Spirit, causes us to be born from above. Christ is the one in whom we believe. We're brought into union with Christ by the Spirit through faith. And so as you think of this, of God doing all of this, we're called children of God in Christ. And so we're brought forth by the Spirit. We find in 1 Peter 1, it says there that God brought us forth by the word of truth, the living and abiding word of God. And so God brought us to life. We're born again. The second birth, the heavenly birth, the new birth of a heavenly Father. But turn with me, if you would, to Galatians 4. We're children also of a heavenly Father in the Son. In Galatians 4, 4 through 7, it speaks of the law. In verse 4, it says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons of God and has sent forth the Spirit of his Son in your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. That's marvelous, isn't it? And so what happens is we're brought forth. But you see, the birth that we also need is a birth that is a heavenly birth. A spiritual birth by the gospel, by the word of God, by the Spirit going forth through the word, that would cause us to be quickened unto new life, everlasting life, that we would embrace Jesus Christ in faith, that is, with full assurance of what he's promised and conviction of what we do not see, and yet clinging to this Christ and the gospel, we know that this is so and we have everlasting life. And so we're children of a heavenly Father. Remember, it's about submission, this honor thing. So honor as unto the Lord. Honoring the Lord is our Heavenly Father. The Spirit of the Son is inside of us. The Spirit of adoption crying out, Abba, Father. We have union with Christ. We're in submission to the Heavenly Father. In Romans chapter 6, we've gone through it at length. Every baptism we talk about it. We've talked about it many times in between. And it says we died with Christ. We're raised to walk in newness of life in Christ. And it says that now we're delivered from that dominion of darkness. And we're transferred into that kingdom of beloved Son out of Colossians 1:13. There it says that we are freed from that dominion of sin. And we are in submission, yielding ourselves to the Lord by His enabling grace, by His Spirit, by His power. We're His children obeying Him in union with Christ because it's Christ at work in us, the hope of glory. So we come to the Father. Over in Ephesians 1:18 and following, it says that we come in up to the Father in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 19 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, it says that we are those who are made the household of God. So here we are, looking at the whole picture, that we have a Father. We're indwelt by the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, sealed by the Spirit of adoption. And we also have the Spirit of the Son, who's in us, we cry, Abba, Father. And we are of the household of faith. In Ephesians chapter 3, it says that the whole family, I think it begins about verse 12 and goes through 17. And it says the whole family in heaven and on earth, the family of God, united in one Lord Jesus Christ, having one heavenly Father, indwelt by one Spirit of adoption, crying, Abba, Father, that we become one family. And so as we look at this, that's the new covenant description of what happens in the gospel, in union with Christ, by the Spirit, in this Trinitarian salvation. You pack all that back into honoring father and mother. Now, we honor and father and mother because we recognize our Heavenly Father has ordained by His good providence that these dear ones would be our mother, our father and our mother. That these dear ones would be the ones that would show us what honor is and reverence is. And the Bible teaches us that as Christians, as we honor our fathers, as we honor our mothers, that we're doing it as unto the Lord. And it also says that God, the Holy Spirit, is at work in us. So as we come to honor our fathers and our mothers, we bless the Lord for them, trusting His sovereignty, but we also offer gratitude, thankfulness. You know, if there's anything that's unbecoming to a person, it's someone who never says thank you. Do you find it that way? You know, they have this sense of entitlement. Well, of course you gave it to me. I deserve it. No. Even less now that you said that. You see, we come to them in gratitude and you say, but wait a minute, Pastor. You don't know my father. You don't know my mother. You don't know what they did. Okay. But then I have a suggestion. No, I don't. I have a command. Not mine. Forgive them as the Lord in Christ forgave you. Is that honoring them by honoring the Lord or honoring the Lord by honoring them? It is, isn't it? And so you can come to the, maybe they were abusive, or maybe they were neglectful, or maybe they were so busy working, trying to put food on the table for you, and you as a kid didn't realize everything going on, working two or three jobs to try to provide for you. You didn't see them as much as you wanted to, or they didn't make your ball games, or whatever. By the way, I've heard all these things. And having resentment and that kind of thing. Or maybe they're genuine, or was genuine sin, or whatever the case may be. It does not matter. We approach it and we look at it in terms of Christ and the Father. And we say, Lord, here I come with all the burden of sin that I have committed. In the darkness of my soul before you did a wondrous work of causing me to be born from above. Father, I come to my parents with grace. that I've received and give it to them. Can you do that? We must. Maybe you say, oh, Pastor, it's not my story at all. Wonderful people. Well, all the easier. But it doesn't matter if it's easy or hard. It's not a command to honor the honorable parents. Right? It's not a command that you hold in high esteem those parents who earned your honor. He didn't say that. He says, honor your father and your mother. It's as unto the Lord, as those who are walking in the light of the fullness of grace. In the Old Testament, when the command was given, you know that the light wasn't as bright as far as the grace of God as we see in Christ. You know, the law came by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17 says. And so here it says, children, honor your father and mother by obeying them. Has a command for fathers too. You know, fathers, as you're dealing with children, don't provoke them to wrath. So wise fathers, it's a call. You say, well, I've been a father a while, but now I'm a Christian. I've done it all wrong. What do I do? Well, now's the time to look at our Heavenly Father. Now's the time to look at the biblical mandate to be the honorable father that would train his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now's the time to be the one who would lead the family in worship. You say, I don't feel qualified. That's all right. You trust the Lord and be obedient. He'll enable by His grace. There's another thing, and our time is nearly up, the Bible talks about the other relationships I mentioned, like in the church. In the church, you find, thirdly, the biblical examples and applications of this. There were the idea of the parents in the church. The command that I've already mentioned of how we are to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But as we do so, we are to lift up the Lord and to say, as you obey, as you submit, as you honor unto the parents, you can see, oh, reverence the Lord you cannot see. But you see by faith. And teach them reverence. Teach them honor. Be honorable. And teach them to be honorable. And so we see the church teaches us to, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, the Lord addresses fathers in the church. Old men, he says, you elders, you older ones, you've been in the Lord a long time. You're the ones who are supposed to come alongside the younger men and to walk in the faith with them. The Lord speaks to every strata in the church, those older and younger, but also those who are called to minister. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter talks about those who are elders in the church. He said that we are to lead by example. Oh, beloved, didn't say it was easy, but he said lead by example. Moreover, it says in 1 Peter 5, to exhort, to shepherd the flock of God, not by compulsion, but willingly. And so all of us who are fathers or mothers are to be those who willingly, joyfully would be the shepherds, the leaders, but also those who God has placed in His church. We recognize, he says, not to lord it over, but that we are to do it as those whose God is entrusted to us. You know, as fathers and mothers, you've thought of this, but think of the children that you have. They're a stewardship. Those God has entrusted into your hands as stewards to raise to the glory of God for the cause of Christ in His kingdom. And so the church is to encourage and to teach and to lead in this. It talks about how elders are those who are also to to be as Galatians 4:19 would say, my little children whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's the goal of ministers and of ministry and of elders. To labor in the word until Christ is formed in you. It's interesting to me, though, how Paul in 1 Corinthians 4, or whether it's Galatians 4, or whether it's John, whether it's in 1 John 2 or 1 John 5, that they use the words little children, and it's always when there's danger out there. When there's the danger of false teaching, the danger of false doctrine. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Little children, love not the world nor the things of the world. Little children, and here he's addressing the error of Judaism and legalism. He says, here I'm laboring like a giving birth till Christ is formed in you. And so here we see that the idea is that you have elders in the church that are functioning in this sense. There's honor and responsibility for them as well. In the church, the Lord talks about the family model as well, where he says, you know, honoring father and mother, he says, we're to take care of widows indeed. Those who are widows indeed, you see, as those who would be the children, we should honor by taking care of them and provide because of their needs. And so the whole idea, he says, that we should, as those in the church, should look to those that God has entrusted by his gifting and by call, that they are overseers who keep watch and must give an account for your souls. You know, I don't know exactly everything that that means, but I understand it enough to be terrified. And so we look at honor and respect as the glue that's so necessary in all of those things. If I may just offer a few practical things before we quit. The idea of showing honor to elderly parents. You know, it says in Proverbs numerous times things about this. And it talks about, do not despise your mother in her old age and listen to the advice of your father. Here, speaking of those, even though you're grown, as a grown, maybe you're a parent yourself, and you have children, it says there that we still should honor those. The roles have advanced somewhat, of course. And the accountability a little different, of course, but still honor and reverence and respect. And so it's the idea of caring for elderly parents. That's an important thing when parents have difficulty caring for themselves. Now, by the way, I might caution, we still show honor. It's not role reversal. Okay, now I'm the parent and you're the child. You know, I've known people that address their parents like that. Now I'm caring for you. Now I'm ordering you around and you just sit down and listen. No, that's not honor. We still show deference. We still show reverence and honor. Also, the idea a faith in Christ, nourished in Christ, that we, as unto the Lord, are doing all things as unto the Lord. In serving them, we're serving the Lord, as in offering, showing how we our gratitude and thankfulness, how God has entrusted us to them. Early on, they cared for us. Now God has blessed us with the ability. Now I can watch over you a little bit. There, you're honoring the Lord by honoring them and treasuring them. In their advanced years, a thankful return, we might say. When we were helpless, they took care of us. Now, as they grow weak, helpless perhaps, and ill, by God's grace, we can take care of them. And so we learn, by the way, in honoring our parents, we grow in sanctification. Whether they are elderly or whether we're children now, we are growing in grace and growing in sanctification because we're understanding, as we honor our parents, we're understanding more how a father, like a father, our heavenly father, cares for us all the more. And by the way, as parents, I think what dawns, at least on me, dawns on me how much the Lord has done with his children. And it helps me, or helped me, and still helps me, to be more patient as a parent and understanding. I remember reading of a man whose father was the town drunk. He lived in Illinois, I think it was, and of course his father would hit the sauce someplace around, and he would go around searching the town every evening to find his father, to make sure his father did not freeze to death in the snow, and would carry him home. And you know, his father was not worthy, really, of his honor. But he honored and loved his father nevertheless. You know why? Because he knew this command, and he took it to heart, and he did it as unto the Lord. And so, beloved, this command, there's so much here. We scratched the surface a little, maybe given some ideas. But you know, the Bible says all of those in authority over us, really, are given like fathers and have a responsibility. Romans 13 is in your bulletin, at least the first verse. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. When that was written, by the way, Nero was emperor. You say, that scoundrel? Yes. And so you see, beloved, sometimes showing honor to those in authority over us, it's not because they're honorable, because it's as unto the Lord. Now we understand why we need enabling grace, why we need the indwelling Spirit, why we do this, though, as recognizing God and His sovereign and infinite wisdom works all things according to the counsel of His will. They wouldn't be in charge unless He decreed it so. And so we can honor, because we know our Heavenly Father has all things well in hand. Honor God by honoring your parents. May God give us the grace for it. Amen. Let's pray together.
Oh, Heavenly Father, You have declared in Your word, before honor comes humility. So may we humble ourselves before You, O God, casting all of our anxieties upon You, for You care for us. And knowing that regardless of any situation with parents, whether good or bad or in between, we pray, knowing that honoring them is honoring You, our Heavenly Father. And so we ask that You would peel back any layers in our minds, that we might look to our parents as looking as unto You, O Lord, not holding any burdens, but forgiving in every situation, just as You have forgiven us in Christ. And then loving them as we see that You have loved us as Your children. So we pray that You might grant us this day, for what we have heard out of Your word You've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I receive the benediction of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.